Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Zaycar Photography. You've been working your butt off in the gym. Now it's time to show off all that hard work with a professional photo shoot from Zaycar Photography. Come into our studio and get some awesome photos to document your body that you've worked so hard for. You don't need to be a professional model. Our photographers are experienced professionals and can make anyone feel comfortable in front of the camera. Contact our studio manager, Kate, today at kate@zaycarphoto.com. And let me spell that for you. It's K-A-T-E at Z-A-E-K-A-R-P-H-O-T-O.com. And now back to the show.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you hot, live and unedited from the mean streets, the Amp Studios in Danville, California. And of course, Amp Studios International in the non-frozen tundra of Brantford, Ontario. All right, I'll give myself crickets on that one. This week in MMA, our flagship show in our network, we're going on 2 years, Proteus. We're going on 2 years on your birthday, no less. And of course, the fabulous Pam. Shout out to Pam and Paul for renewing their vows this weekend in the rain. 5.5 inches of rain, Proteus, but they suffer through just like the beautiful Veronica Maceda. We'll get to that in a second. UFC fight night. Maya versus Usman. And boy, that was one of those insert blunder here. Boy, that was a tough fight to watch. No doubt about it. Whew. Proteus, let's get into it.
What's up?
Oh, man, I love that. What's up? You know, I wonder how many people actually know or remember what that's from.
Probably not many. Yeah, sorry, coming at you guys not from the International Studios again today. We are live on location once more, Tony, so apologies if the audio is not good or if anything else happens, I apologize. Oh, and I wanted to say happy Victoria Day to all my fellow Canadians.
Happy Victoria Day. So Victoria Day, of course, is a federal Canadian public holiday celebrated on the last Monday preceding May 25th in honor of Queen Victoria's birthday. So happy Victoria Day. And of course, we never want to offend anyone, let alone our second largest audience. Actually, believe it or not, our second largest audience is in the UK. Most of our audience comes from the US. We're now in 38 countries, including Canada. Canada used to be our second largest market. The UK is now our second largest market, followed, of course, by Canada. So shout out to Canada. Proteus, let's get into this. Victoria Day, shout out to Victoria Day. Let's get into it. We'll fly through the prelim cards here. Enrique Barzola defeats Brandon Davis via, we're going to hear this a lot, Proteus, unanimous decision. Frankie, she blinded me with science, defeats Henry Briones via unanimous decision, and Claudio Puelles defeated Felipe Silva submission knee bar. That was actually a pretty exciting fight. To the prelim card we go. FS2, Michael Proceras defeats Zach Cummings via split decision. Our boy Brian from Boston would like Zach Cummings fight. I think he said Dominic Reyes, which would be a different weight class. Flyweight, Alexandre Pantoja defeats McLovin, Brandon Moreno, via unanimous decision. This wasn't even close. Pollyanna Botello, a good kickboxer, defeated Siri Kondo via TKO, body kick and punches. 33 seconds in the quickest stoppage ever in a strawweight battle, so that was pretty exciting there. And Gabriel Benitez defeats Humberto Bandanai. But let's go to the card that everybody was watching. FS1, the main card, Proteus, your boy, and I'm being facetious, Kamaru Usman defeats Damian Maia, your real boy, via unanimous decision. I thought this fight was... Proteus, you ever see the bully that likes to talk a lot of smack, and then once they get into a fight, he just kind of like play it safe, doesn't really do anything? I'm not saying he's John Fitch, like I told Brian. Rather, I told Brian from Boston, I'm not sure this is John Fitch 2.0 or Ben Askren 7.0, meaning a lot lower version, but this wasn't not entertaining. Proteus, I'm throwing at you.
Yeah, Tony, you're right. This was incredibly hard to watch. I just to pull the curtain back, I watched these fights the next day, so I watched them Sunday afternoon. And by the end of the second round, I kind of felt how this one was going to go. I actually cheated, looked up the results, and went, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to go make dinner instead, and then came back and a couple hours later and finished off the fight. Just very, very hard to watch, man. And the shades of Abu Dhabi against Anderson Silva again for Damian Maia, you know, kind of inviting Usman to go to the ground with him. One of the things that I couldn't help but think, Tony, was if Damian Maia was a little bit younger and he kind of had that boxing game that he has now, because I think his stand-up is improved from where we, you know, remember him back in Abu Dhabi against Anderson Silva, as I mentioned earlier on. But just, like you said, Usman didn't really pull the trigger either, though, did he? I mean, he just kind of stopped it or evaded the takedowns of Maia and just didn't really do much after that. Didn't want to engage on the ground at all, which is probably smart because, you know, Tony, we don't need Jansport on your back at all. So probably a smart thing for him to do, but really, really hard to watch, like I said. And, you know, how Pam likes to say, go get a sandwich. This is kind of the time to do that.
Proteus, let me ask you this. You're making dinner. You're not watching the fight. You didn't watch the fight live. You ever hear of FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. This was one of those fights that I knew that I would not miss out on anything. Of course, I watched it live like I always do. And unfortunately, it was way too long. But boy, are you getting tired of, and I like Kamaru Usman. I really do, especially when he was in the Tough House, when it was the Black Zillions versus ATT. I really like Kamaru Usman, but boy, his excuses are getting old, Proteus. Are they not?
Well, I mean, everybody's full of excuses after something like that, right? I mean, what do you expect him to say? You know, oh, I had a poor performance or, I mean, let's be honest. He did take Damian Maia on short notice. His original opponent did fall out of the fight, obviously. And then, of course, both from him and Maia taking this on short notice. Look, fighters are going to run their mouth. That's kind of what they do. I don't really listen anymore to fighter interviews because you got to perform in the cage. That's all I really care about. You know what I mean? So like I say, I don't really give two shits about what they have to say after the fight. Everybody is full of excuses, whether you lose, whether you have a bad performance. It's just the way of things.
Yeah. You know, the last fight, he said he was at 30%. I think he had torn a calf muscle, which is legit. This fight, he said he broke his right hand in the first, broke his left hand in the second. Probably true. I'm not saying it isn't true. I'm just tired of hearing those things. And if they're true, heck, what are you going to do, right? He pulled through. He got the win. Just not exciting. I still want to see him versus Colby Covington. I just don't know how impressive Usman will be in the future. And I think we're going to get a lot more of this going on. Let's move down in weight, Proteus. To fight I was really looking forward to. Actually, not really. I knew how this fight was going to go. And being an Alexa Grasso fan, shout out to Buffalo Blue. I just didn't see it going any different, but let's get into it. Women's strawweight, we went. Tatiana Suarez, who's really impressive, Proteus. Really impressive. Defeats Alexa Grasso, who I'm a huge fan of, but clearly she needs to work on her ground game. I know she has great boxing. At least she has great boxing technique. At least she wasn't covering up her face this time. But via submission, first round, 2:44 into this. Proteus, I'm going to throw to you. What say you?
Now, not really a lot to speak on here. You know, you got your bite on Thursday. I was completely wrong. You know, Grasso didn't seem to have improved while she's been out of the cage. Like you said, going up against a really tough grappler, and, you know, that showed 100%. It wasn't even... In my opinion, wasn't even close. I mean, it was, and the finish, the time, how long it took, her finish proves it. You know, it was very one-sided. I don't know what you do with Grosso next, mate. I mean, just not living up to what we had thought originally she would be. And that happens, you know, from time to time. But, yeah, not even close. That ground game is lacking, to say the least.
And to be fair, she is a very young fighter growing. But I just I don't see her as a top 10 fighter right now. I think they keep throwing her in these fights with people that are maybe not more mature, because I don't think Tatiana Suarez is that much older than she is, but clearly her ground game is a lot more impressive. They had Alexa Grasso ranked number 9. Interestingly enough, Tatiana wasn't even in the top. Actually, she was number 12, so close enough. I'm going to read you off a couple of names here. You tell me who Grasso can possibly beat. Rose Namajunas, I'm just going to say you're going to say no on that one.
No, yeah.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Nope.
Jessica Andrade.
Nope.
Claudia Gadella.
That might be a closer fight, but I doubt it. I think Claudia's got that one as well.
I'm going to rattle these off. I'm pretty sure you're going to say no on all these, so let me rattle three at a time. Kovalkiewicz, Torres, Tisha Torres, Esparza, Watterson, Belize Herrig. I don't think Alexa Grasso can beat any of those. Do you?
No, I don't think
that's the problem, right?
Either. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
like
I think
she's Tony, very young fighter.
I think she needs a change of camp. Not joking. And I know her father runs Lobo, and her father is a boxing savant. I mean, he really is a great boxing coach, and I think he's done a great job with both her and with her name's escaping me, Aldana. Forgive me, her Irene Aldana. But to be honest with you, I think she needs to go to another camp that just focuses on Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because she's a couple years away from really competing on that level. Let me ask you this, though, on the flipping, and we're not doing the up-down report right now, but Tatiana Suarez, what do you see next for her, Proteus? Because she is ranked number 12, and I think she's a top 5 fighter.
Yeah, I'm always for giving fighters a challenge. I mean, of those names that you mentioned, I think only I don't think anybody's really available, right? I mean, no, I don't think so. Because JJ just booked in a fight. Yeah, KK is moving, I believe, to 25, maybe. I don't know. I don't know, man. I just step up in competition. Whatever that may be for her would be great. I can't pull you out a name right now because I don't have one, because I don't think you give her anybody in the top 5 right now. You got to do anywhere from, you know, 6 to 10 and give her that kind of a challenge, move her up slowly. And then, you know, she's able to win that kind of a fight. You bump her up to the top 5 contender.
Now, you know, I'm not Mauro Ranallo, but I do like a little bit of hyperbole here. I think that Tatiana Suarez versus Carlos Esparza would be a good fight. Again, I don't know who's booked or who isn't. I'd like to see maybe Tatiana Suarez versus Felice Herrig. I think that would be a good fight. So I do think there are some fights that are available that don't necessarily push her into the top 5, but certainly leave her room for improvement. Let's move into this one. Brian from Boston and I were texting about this, about how impressive Dominic Reyes is. Let's get into this, Proteus, because I'm gonna throw some hyperbole right here. I'm not joking. Dominic Reyes defeats Jared Cannonier 2 minutes and 55 seconds in the first round. TKO out of nowhere with that short left. This kid's really good, Proteus, and seems fearless. Doesn't seem like the spotlight seems to hinder him at all. Needs to work on his mic skills just a bit. Good kid. I like this kid a lot, Proteus, so I'm throwing to you. What say you? Dominic Reyes versus Jared Cannonier.
Again, not much to speak of here, though, Tony. But what I did see is that, you know, Reyes was, in my opinion, working his game. He seemed more in control of this fight than Cannonier did. And, of course, as you mentioned, that beautiful short left hand right on the money. And like you said, he walked off. He didn't get in there and you know, go all crazy. You know, maybe his mic skills do need a little bit of work. But, again, I'm more impressed with what the guys do inside the cage and very impressed. Reyes looking good, getting off the bus, you know, kind of checking most of the boxes for me here, DJ Tony, and give him a step up in competition. Like you said, that spotlight doesn't seem to bother him. Push him up even further. Let's see, because he's a very exciting person in this weight class.
He's undefeated, so you know the zero must go, right? With everyone, the zero has to go. But I'm going to read you off some names here. In the current light heavyweight division, currently, keep in mind, DC will be fighting heavyweight, and he pretty much has 1 foot out the door, right? I mean, he's saying that he has about a year left. I'm going to read you off some names here. And do you recall when the light heavyweight division had some killers? Bader, Phil Davis, they had Anthony Rumble Johnson, of course, John Jones. That's no longer the case. I'm going to read you the top five as they are ranked right now, not including DC because he's a champ. Alexander Gustafsson, Volkan Ozdemir, Glover Teixeira, Aleir Latifi, Jan Błachowicz. Proteus, this is not an exciting top five. Am I wrong here?
No, and that's exactly what I was just saying. You know, this division really needs a guy like Reyes to come up and look good and get those wins, like you mentioned. You really looking back at these, at getting rid of Bader and getting rid of Mr. Wonderful, and you kind of go, man, these guys would be good in the division right now, wouldn't they? Because with John Jones out, DC out, I mean, all we've got basically is Gustafsson, right? I mean, he's the only one coming off of a win. Because no time in his last fight, he lost. So it would have really behooved the UFC to have kept those guys. But hindsight is 20/20, isn't it?
Boy, it always is. But who would have thought that that division that was really powerful, really strong, would come down to this right now? And, of course, it's temporary. Names move up and down. They always do. John Jones will eventually come back. But it's still really top-heavy and not much in between, and it used to be the other way around. Proteus, let's move into one fight that I actually thought was – it broke my heart for the Diego Rivas, was happy for Kennedy. Seemed like literally it was the father – like it seems to be like a father-son fight because the age discrepancy looks visually that big. Fans were up in roar. Obviously, Marco rooting for Guido Cannetti, insert joke here, because that clearly didn't happen. Bantamweight we go. Guido Cannetti defeats Diego Rivas in a really exciting fight. Not joking. Unanimous decision. What say you, Proteus?
Yeah, I don't know if it was super exciting. I don't know if I agree with you on that one. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anybody just stand and stare at their corner to get instructions while someone is on their back. I've never seen that before, DJ Tony. And Rivas, Kennedy was on his back, you know, kind of had one hook in. And all Kennedy or Rivas is doing is just staring at his corner going, And then, like, even the commentators, like, he needs to explode and get on the inside. And then, what, I think it was 2 minutes later, he actually did do that. I don't know, man. He just seemed like Rivas, maybe a little bit, the spotlight was too much for him. This fight didn't need to be on the main card, just in, you know, talent wise. And I know why it was on the main card. Of course, the rivalry, as Marco had alluded to on Thursday, no love lost between these two countries. And that's why it's on the main card. But it just, in my opinion, did not need to be there due to their skills. And, you know, I was pushing for Rivas as well to get that win at home and make Marco happy, but Kennedy just seemed like the better fighter that night. I mean, just seemed to be on a little bit more. And like I said, Rivas kind of looked like a deer caught in headlights.
It was disappointing for Diego Rivas, right? A kid that had a battle through cancer. He's fighting at home. He really seemed overwhelmed, in my opinion. And you're right, I don't think this fight needed. We know why he was on there, right? Fighting at home. But clearly, I think he seemed overwhelmed. Maybe it was a layoff. I'm not sure what it was. Clearly, fighting at home affected him. But it wasn't – I thought it was a good fight. I may have thrown some hyperbole there saying exciting. But I thought it was a good fight. I thought it was an entertaining fight. Proteus, let's get into the fight. Ooh, I'll give you this fight pass caliber.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah. As long as it's just not main card, right?
Just not main card. Maybe FS2 caliber. I just don't think anyone that's watching the UFC for the first time, watching FS1, tuning into that fight, I don't think they're going to say, gosh, I got to have more of this. Yeah. Mind you, the Usman-Damian fight was even worse, so let's be honest, right? But let's, right, that was, I mean, if you turn into that, at least they were brawling, right? Something exciting about it. Usman, Maya, I mean, I think the most exciting part there was maybe two fighters that had zero tattoos going at it. Maybe that was, I don't know. It wasn't very good, right? Let's get into this,
right,
Proteus. Yep, had to do it, Proteus. Fight of the night, Andrea KGB Lee versus Veronica Macedo. Now, I know what you guys are all thinking. DJ Tony is a blonde guy, loves the blondes. Nope, this is Veronica Macedo, no doubt about it. And by the way, shout out to Andy the Crazy Wynn, who was in Angela KGB's corner. You want to look out for her. Unfortunately, not UFC caliber, 6-6 in her career, but just a beautiful woman. This was a good fight. Angela KGB Lee is legit, and she has been UFC caliber for quite some time. Obviously had the layoff due to a tainted supplement or banned substance, I think it was. But she defeated Veronica Macedo. And I think it was size. I think it was just being a better athlete. She certainly seemed stronger. This was a pretty good fight, Proteus. I throw it to you.
Yeah, definitely we got to see a lot of punishment. We got to see what Angela Lee is able to do in the UFC. And Macedo, 100%. Showed a lot of heart, a lot of toughness. I mean, some of that clinch work, with the knees to the body and the short elbows and punches, and of course, knees to the head by Lee onto Macedo were, I don't know how she absorbed those things, but all the more power to her. And then, of course, once the fight went to the ground, Angela Lee was just chewing up Macedo's legs. And you could see the damage. It was very, very obvious. To see that damage, but then Macedo would get back up to her feet and throw some spinning shit. So, you know, she did not want to lay down. She did not want to give up. She certainly did not do that. And I just thought that the fight was contested kind of in a range where Macedo was not at an advantage. I mean, as you mentioned, Angela Lee looking very, very strong, especially in that clinch and kind of the wrestling position. I guess it's Greco where they stand up. I apologize if I'm wrong. But very, very strong in those particular instances. And I think that's where, you know, Angela was trying to have that fight happen there. And you could see between the second and the third round that the fact that Macedo wasn't going away seemed to have affected Lee because she was extremely tired between the second and the third round. Surprising enough, though, she gets back off the stool and looks to be ready to go again. But again, more of the same in the third round. The fight gets to the ground and Lee just punishing the legs and what was the axe kick to the body as well. I mean, come on, very impressive, very nice look, looking fighter, to, you know, look at this. Not only, you know, physically, but with the technique as well. Very impressive.
And Veronica Macedo, of course, with her karate background, good Brazilian jiu-jitsu. She is speedy. She is dynamic. 22 years young. She's listed at 5'4". I'd like to measure her. Well, hold on. That sounds wrong. You know what I mean. Boy, that really sounded wrong, didn't it? I mean, I'd like to get her measurements. That sounds, gosh, talk about creepy. All right. Well, you know what? It is what it is. Sorry. It is what it is. But if I grab a tape measure and measure her height, how about that? I don't think she's 5'4". Saying she's 5'4" is like saying I'm 6'2". So she's a smaller fighter. Angela KGB looked good, Proteus. Those Thai knees, the Thai clinch. I mean, just tearing up that body. And Veronica Macedo, listen, that body is, I mean, she's firm at whatever her height is. Firm, there's no doubt about it. But, gosh, that was, I think clearly Veronica Macedo needs a little bit of work. I think she needs to fight at a lower weight class. And I know that she's been fighting at bantamweight. And she came down to flyweight. I think she needs to go 115. And Andrea Lee looked really good. Boy, I'd like to see, I know that Valentina Shevchenko was doing some Spanish commentary. I'd like to see Valentina Shevchenko and Andrea KGB Lee one day. I know they're not ranked anywhere near, but I'd like to see that fight. I think that would be a good fight. Proteus, let's go to the last fight of the night for us. Vicente Luque fighting your boy, Chad Laprise. Chad Laprise always seems to do better than I give him credit for. Fortunately, this was not the case. Vicente Luque defeats Chad Laprise. First round, 4 minutes and 16 seconds in, KO, and he was gone. Proteus, I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, I mean, Chad Laprise, I think we talked about him the last time, again, that he fought. And I was very surprised to hear the commentators tell me that he had a four-fight win streak going into this fight. Because every time I remember Chad, he's either getting knocked out or a bad performance. And yeah, like you said, this was one of those. He was just completely out. And, you know, a great stoppage. I believe it was Mark Goddard that was in there with them as well. And Mark, let me just say, Mark Goddard has been doing a fantastic job recently. He's been in the right, correct place. He looked at Chad Laprise's eyes, wasn't there, called the fight off. You know, excellent reffing. That's kind of, in my opinion, he's the top notch right now. And great win by Luque. You know, what else can you say about that? I mean, you get a guy who's got four wins in a row and you take him out with ease. Great win. Great win for him for sure.
Here's the great part about this. Yeah, and shout out to Mark Goddard, right? Because I think he was involved in that McGregor incident in Bellator, if I'm not mistaken. I think he might have been struck by McGregor or pushed or whatever happened. So shout out to Mark Goddard on that. Good interview as well. He's been on the MMA Roadshow. You know, Chad Laprise, I have the same thing that you do about him. I always see him losing, but he was on a 3-fight win streak in the UFC, beat Thibaut Gauthier, beat Brian Kamotsi, beat Galor Bafondo. Good luck saying that name. All TKOs, by the way, 2 in the first, 1 in the third. Yet I don't see him. Yeah, it's funny. You called it completely right. I just don't see him winning. And he has been on a 3-fight win streak where he KO'd three people. So interesting on that, Proteus. I'm not sure I know what happened there, but gosh, Vicente Luque, not super impressive to me lately.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did beat Nico Price via Darce. Beat Chad Laprise, who's no joke, so he's done a pretty decent job. Let me ask you this. So let's do the up-down report. Let's do the attendance on this. Right. At the Movistar Arena, which is, I think, a cellular service out of Spain, believe it or not, Santiago, Chile. Packed house, or at least it looked like it, 11,000. Certainly did better numbers at UFC 224. I think the buy UFC 224, perhaps the lowest in modern era, 75,000 buys. Bonus awards, of course, given to Fight of the Night, Andrea KGB Lee versus Veronica Macedo, and Performance of the Night, Gabriel Benitez and Claudio Pueyas. Let me ask you this, up-down report, Proteus. Who goes up, who goes down? Give me one or two fighters that you think that certainly moved up in the ranks or made some headway, and give me two fighters, one or two fighters that clearly went a lot lower than you thought they would.
Okay, well, I think we have to start with Usman. I even though he beat a higher ranked contender than himself, I don't know that that fight helps his stock any at all. I don't know if he goes down in any way, but as you mentioned, you know, he's got those excuses for days. And again, if he was working with two broken hands, he just was still throwing them. So, I mean, all the power to him. I definitely have to big up KGB Lee. I think this is kind of what the UFC has wanted out of her. They want her to get a win. They wanted her to look impressive, which she did, to be honest with you. If she was in a five-round fight, though, I don't know if her cardio would have been up to the standards that she may want it to be. And, of course, we have to go back to the light heavyweight division, right? We have to make sure that we big up that fight because Dominic Reyes, definitely looking good here. Definitely need a breath of fresh air that this division, as we mentioned, as we spoke about, really, really needs. So I'm going to big up KGB Lee. I'm going to big up Reyes. And I'm going to say not so much down for Usman, but definitely not up.
I'm going to give you an interesting one, Proteus. So up-down report for me. Up, no doubt about it. Poliana Botello. I don't know if you saw this fight. You definitely want to look at her post-fight interview. Doesn't speak a word of English. She is Brazilian, doesn't speak a word of English. But boy, she's got some swag, Proteus. She has some serious swag, sort of Joanna Jędrzejczyk type swag. So if this fighter really learns some English, I'm telling you, she can be really exciting. So I'm giving it to strawweight Poliana Botello as an up report. I'm going to give you another one that's pretty obvious. Tatiana Suarez. I don't know where she's going to fall in the ranks, but certainly fought as expected. And that's the one thing when you're a huge favorite and you actually live up to your potential, got to give it up to her. Down report, I'm going to give you a couple. Brandon McLovin Moreno. Love this kid.
Oh, yeah.
But boy, he just didn't perform at all. Don't know what it was there. I'm going to give you another one that's a down report that you called it too. But Kamaru Usman, listen, Kamaru Usman's a good fighter. There's no doubt about it. He's ranked number 7 right now. Who knows where he goes? But let me give you that welterweight division, the way it stands now. Tyron Woodley, clearly the champ and should be the champ. There shouldn't be an interim title anywhere near that. Followed by, of course, number 1, Steven Wonder Man Thompson, as you like to call him, RDA, Colby Covington, Robbie Lawler, Damian Maya, which I'm sure will go down, George Masvidal, Darren Till, Neil Magny, I'm going to keep going because it gets even better, Santiago Ponzinibbio, Cowboy Donald Cerrone, Gunnar Nelson, Proteus, I don't know where Usman stands in that division right now. Do you?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I would have preferred the original fight against the Ponzi scheme. I think that would have been more of an interesting fight than what we got in this one against Maya. Of course, Usman's going to move up. He's got to take Damian Maya's spot in the rankings. I mean, that's what he should do. He got the win, so he should move up to that. Look, let me start again. I would love to see that rivalry fight between him and Covington, between Usman and Covington. I don't know why they put Covington into the interim title fight against RDA. I think RDA should have gotten that fast track right to Tyron Woodley. We already discussed this, though, on a previous show. I just think RDA destroys him, destroys Covington. And in this particular fight against Usman, Covington versus Usman would have been of more interest, I believe. I think maybe you save it for the next fight, but Usman, if Covington loses, Usman is coming off of a win, you know what I mean? Like, why would he want to fight Covington coming off of a loss? So I don't know if they're damned, if the UFC is damned if they do, if they're damned if they don't, with this particular way that they schedule these fights. Yeah, did I answer the question or did I get off topic there?
No, you're right on the money. No, you're right on the money.
Yeah, okay.
So let's get into this, Proteus, as we're closing the show.
Yes, sir.
This week, two important dates, Proteus. Proteus's birthday on Saturday, and Pam's coming up as well. We will have, of course,
on Thursday.
Thursday, right? Smack my picks up, right? Thompson versus Till, which will be held on Sunday in Liverpool, England, our second largest market, Proteus. Our second largest market. So we'll try to do some, I'm losing my mind here. The MMA minute. There hasn't been a lot of news, Proteus. So that's why I didn't do a lot of MMA minutes last week, because there just wasn't a lot to work there. So hopefully we'll get some. I'll try to do some MMA minutes. Thursday, of course, Mac might pick up hashtag down with the fitness with host Proteus.
Right.
Showtime making, of course, his return with Pam. Renewed vow to Pam. And, of course, Marco, who's been on fire. We'll save the pitch winners for Thursday.
That's right.
Proteus, my Twitter follow of the week goes to I think it's Andy the Crazian, I believe is her nickname. Andy Nguyen, who's a fighter. She fights at, I think, Ryzen and other avenues. You definitely want to follow her. Andy Nguyen, the Crazian. Beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. Proteus, I throw to you.
Yeah, again, I want to say happy Victoria today to all of our Canadian fans. I also want to say a happy birthday to Mrs. Proteus, whose birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday to her. I want to say a shout out for next weekend. I mean, this is going to be a big smack my picks up on Thursday. We have the Battle of England, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, Wednesday, Friday night, we got Bellator 200. And then, of course, Sunday night, we have versus the Wonder Man. So this should be a big, big show on Thursday. Get yourselves ready for that one. And, of course, shout out to everybody from England as well. I believe that's their bank holiday next weekend. So enjoy that, everybody. I'm going to shout out Josh from Tilsonburg. I don't have his Twitter handle in front of me, but I know he's always listening. He's always giving feedback. Great guy. So shout out to Josh from Tilsonburg. We'll see you Thursday for the 2-year anniversary show. Tony.
Follow Josh at 44GSP44. Follow Andy the Crazian at Andy the Crazian 1. Proteus.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.